Well, hello there, and welcome to the Praise Arrow podcast. This is part two of 25 Lessons at 25, the cheesy episode I decided to make because I turned 25. If you missed part one, you can still watch or listen to it on this channel. So without further ado, let's pick up from where we left off. Lesson number 13, learn to say no. I came to discover through a series of not so pleasant events that I am a highly agreeable person. And that means I have the tendency to be pushed to do things that I don't exactly want to do just in order to please people. So agreeable people, as the word goes, easily agree to things. So they may agree to things that are not necessarily beneficial to them or maybe even harmful to them. And this is all because they can't say no. The strategy I use for this is when I want to say yes immediately to an offer, an idea, I decide to take some time. Well, I don't always stop my brain or I don't always stop my mouth from speaking fast enough. There are times when I just go ahead and say yes and 2 seconds later I'm like, no. But anyway, most of the time I try to take some time to think a little bit and say, okay, what am I giving up here? What is it going to cost? You know, just counting the cost of what I'm about to commit to. And that usually helps me make a better decision than if I just gone ahead and said yes. So learn to say no. Lesson number 14, learn to say yes. It's a good thing to take the time to count the cost of what you're committing to before you say yes. But when that becomes a case of indecisiveness and becoming paralyzed whenever you're given an opportunity, then that's a problem. So I discovered, once again through a series of not so pleasant events, that I was very indecisive, especially in the face of an opportunity. I would spend so much time questioning my abilities, whether or not I'd be able to do it, whether or not I can sustain this level of energy. And because I spend so much time thinking, afraid that I would, you know, agree to something that I do not have the capacity to commit to in the long run, I would wait it out until, you know, the opportunity probably disappeared. So the fear of failing at something or not seeing something through stopped me from taking a chance at what probably would have been a life-changing opportunity. That's why I had to learn to say yes. Lesson number 15, you shouldn't need anyone to motivate you. I think most of us have heard this like a zillion times because every motivational speaker says this, but yes, it is true that you should not need people to motivate you because people are flawed and you cannot make their absence or presence in your life or their support for your dreams and goals the determining factor of your success. That means you should be able to determine for yourself why you want to do what you want to do and set goals in order to achieve them. Yes, along the line, you will have times when you falter and feel discouraged, but you should be able to maintain that initial understanding of where you're going and the basic motivation it takes to keep moving in spite of obstacles, irrespective of what the people around you think. So yeah, you should not need anyone to motivate you. Lesson number 16, you should have people that encourage you. Here I'm talking about the power of community. You know, we humans are social beings, and whether we like it or not, we look to each other for inspiration, for some form of direction of what is the norm in society. You know, it forms a basis for us to understand where the starting point is and where the end goal is in life. So you might think that you have laid down your own dreams and motivations based on your personal thoughts and ideas, but in reality, you've looked at countless people, you've been filled with information from birth of what are the limits of human capability, and maybe you have tried to stretch that a little bit, but it is all within a framework of what you understand as humanly possible. And if you take a look at the lives of really successful people, what you will find is that they at some point were present in a community that created the right environment for what they were working on to succeed. So it could be a community of people who were doing similar things or people who were just succeeding in different aspects of life. And that created a general mindset of hard work and success. And speaking of encouragement, no matter who you are, there will be times when you feel down and would just rather have someone lift you up. You know, there are times when no matter how great you are, you doubt your own capabilities and you need someone from the outside to say, hey, you're great, you're amazing, and you're doing okay. Yes, maybe you're not all you thought you would be. Maybe you're not where you thought you would be, but you're doing okay and you inspire me. Those sorts of words, I think, are increasingly scarce and so many people are really thirsty for that kind of encouragement. I know how it feels when someone sends me a text or calls me to say, I really believe in you, you're doing amazing, it just brightens my day and gives me a sort of new energy. You know, the Bible says that iron sharpens iron, and in the same way, a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. I'm very grateful for all the friends who constantly tell me that I can do more and that they're so proud of me and what I've done so far. I do not take it for granted at all. And I used to take it for granted, which is why this is a lesson here. At some point, I learned how important it was. I also didn't know that it was important to give people encouragement, that people needed me to say that to them. So I would see someone who's doing really great, and in my opinion, I think, yeah, you're fine. You should know that you're doing amazing. But sometimes people don't know. In the process of constantly striving for perfection, you get worn out and feel that you're not making that much progress. Maybe you're inching forward, but you think, oh, I should be accelerating. But even those tiny baby steps you're taking are making a difference in the life of someone somewhere on planet Earth, and you might not know. So it's always helpful when someone reaches out and tells you that you're actually making an impact. So my point is, you actually need people to encourage you. Irrespective of the fact that you should be the center of your own motivation, you need people around you from who you can draw inspiration and draw strength when you are weary. So find a community today. Lesson number 17, life may not turn out the way you want it to. You know, we plan and we plan and we have all these targets, these goals that we want to attain at a certain time. And then life just blindsides you and so many unprecedented things happen and you just feel like you're floating around in the deep ocean. Well, that's life, and, you know, deal with it. But seriously speaking, life can sometimes hit you with big surprises and it feels like nothing is within your control anymore. And it's very difficult for people who have their whole lives planned out and we're very certain that they were walking in the right direction, and something comes along and you suddenly can't find your bearings anymore. That's a very difficult situation. But I think I've learned that the foreknowledge of the fact that unprecedented things will happen in life prepares you for it to an extent. There are always things you cannot prepare for, no matter how strong you think you are. But what you can do is build yourself to the point that if life blindsides you, you are prepared enough to find your footing again and start moving forward. Lesson number 18, life can turn out the way you want it to. Sometimes we experience so many disappointments and life throws us so many curveballs that we start to doubt that we can ever truly have that kind of life we want. It's like the moment you start doing something, start making some progress, a new challenge comes up and you're back to square one. Watching that happen repeatedly can lead you to a state of hopelessness. And I felt that before, and I think that is truly one of the worst states for a person to be in. When the things around you are difficult, when the situation around you is terrible and challenging and bleak, it's bad. But when within you there is a total loss of faith in yourself, there's a total loss of hope for a change in situation, yeah, then that's the end. So I just want to let you know that it is still possible to have that life you want. Yes, the past is gone. Maybe you thought this would happen at a certain age and it didn't happen. Well, you can still dream again. And I do not need to take you through the stories of people who achieve great things in their later years. It's all a matter of believing that you can move forward even from where you are at that point. So do not let the fear of failure or uncertainty make you lose hope. You can still have a great life. So take control of your life today. You know, one of the greatest realizations I've come to is that this is my life. It's my life to live, and I define what happens in this life. When you've been hit by the challenges of life so often, you start to forget that this is your life to live and you just let life happen to you. Stop letting life happen to you. You can decide to take back control of your life today. And however challenging it might be, even if it's a very tiny thing that you can change at this moment, start from that point and things will work out. You know, more opportunities will present themselves. You'll find out better way to do the things you're already doing now. But don't sit around and lose hope, because you can still take control of your life today. Lesson number 19, save money. I know you've heard this before, but I'm going to say it again anyway, because it's really important. Saving money has saved me so many times. And I'm really glad my mom taught me this very early. I've learned to live within my means and save a portion of whatever I earn. Even if you have a huge income and can afford to buy whatever you want, it's always wise to save, because things happen, life changes, and you don't know what you're going to need that money for. So save a lot. And you know, in order to save money, you have to live within your means. I don't think I can ever understand why people borrow money to buy things that they can't afford at the time. I mean, things that are not basic necessities. So you borrow money to buy certain clothing, you borrow money to look a certain way, appear a certain way before other people. I really cannot understand it. Like, what's your point? What exactly are you trying to prove? And so in front of other people, you look like you're doing great and amazing, but you're in debt. What sort of life is that? Sometimes you might have a lower standard of living than your peers, and that's okay for the time being because it's where you are. It saves you a lot of mental stress when no one is calling you to say, guy, how far that money will I borrow you now? So unless it is absolutely necessary, do not borrow. Instead, learn to live within your means and even save a portion of your earnings. Lesson number 20, don't save all your money. Saving is great, it's amazing, but sometimes it can get to an extreme where you become a cheapskate and miss out on important things in life because you're trying to save money. So what should you do with the rest of the money that you do not save? Take care of yourself. You should always have a portion of your money set aside to take care of yourself. And this is something that I didn't do. After my basic necessities and tithing, everything else used to go to savings. And that is so wrong. Sometimes you're worried that the more you take care of yourself, the more careless you're going to become with spending. But in reality, when you make taking care of yourself a priority, then you begin to think of more ways to make money in order to have money to take care of yourself as well as save. Another thing that you should be doing with money is investing. And that's something else I didn't start early. But it's very important when you're in your 20s to invest. I'm not a financial advisor, so I'm not going to tell you what to invest in. Good luck with that. Thirdly, what should you do with your money? Travel, make friends, make memories, go to new places, see new people, says the person who doesn't like to travel. When I was doing my undergrad, I missed out on making really great memories because I was saving. And there were times when it was absolutely necessary, but I think I could have afforded it at some point, but was just stuck on that trajectory of save, 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 save. So that's why I learned later on that you should not save all your money. Lesson number 21, take it easy. Yes, I know we're all chasing our life's purpose, our dreams, and our goals, but bros, don't kill yourself. You have just one life to live, and it's very sad if you spend every single waking moment worried and anxious about whether or not you're going to achieve a certain goal. You need to have space in your mind and in your environment to relax and enjoy the life that God has given you. So take it easy. Lesson number 22, do not take it easy. This is for the lazy people out there who take the statement, take it easy, to the extreme. Sometimes when I look tired and stressed and my friends are all like, take it easy, rest, you've done a lot of work already, I'm like, bro, don't tell me to take it easy, because I know that it has taken me a lot of discipline to get to the point where I'm working at this level. And then when you tell me to take it easy, it's like all of that just breaks down and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna take it easy. And I just cool off for like 1 week without doing anything useful. So there's always a balance to these things. And the key message is still the same. You have just one life to live and you don't want to spend it filled with regret about all the things you could have done that you didn't do because you were laying on your couch all day watching Netflix or whatever it is you watch. That would be Chinese dramas for me. So don't push yourself too hard, but push yourself hard enough that you are achieving the things you are meant to achieve. At least getting things done when you should be getting them done. Lesson number 23, working hard is extremely important. I've personally witnessed how hard work has saved me from the bleakest of situations. And the scenario that stands out the clearest to me in my head is probably one of my exams back during my undergrad. When I looked at the content that I had to study and just imagined that I was going to read all of this within this short period of time, I felt like giving up. But that to me still remains the exam that proved that I'm capable of more than I can imagine, because I just maintained focused study for a long time. That is the hardest I've ever worked for any exam till date within such a short period of time. So maybe this lesson shouldn't just be about hard work, but also about focused work. It's amazing how much you can get done if you're working hard at something with singular focus for a certain period of time, you know, not getting distracted, not trying to do something else in the process. It's really incredible. And I think it's one of the principles that I try to apply to a lot of the things I do now. So yeah, focused hard work is extremely important. Lesson number 24, working smart is even more important. While I learned a very valuable lesson about hard work, I learned an even more important lesson about smart work. Because I watched people study as hard as me, work as hard as me, and not get the same results I was getting. Now, there is maybe the natural difference in abilities and mental capacity and all of those random things. But more than that, I discovered that the difference between me and some people who were doing better than me, or some people that I was doing better than, is the level of information we had access to. In the areas of my life where I had people who had gone ahead of me and who could tell me, hey, this is the way to go and this is the way to approach a situation, this is the way to approach that situation, I would see myself moving at 2 times, 5 times, 10 times the speed that someone else would move, someone who had no foreknowledge of the right way to go. And bear in mind, when I say smart work, it does not to replace hard work, because smart work is in itself a form of hard work. It requires asking questions, asking the right questions, seeking out advice from the right people. And all of this takes time, intentionality, relationship building, and a lot of effort. And even when you start to work smart, yes, you're working faster, but you're still going to have to do a lot of work. So the point of working smart is basically helping you move at a faster pace. So maybe what would have taken a person a year would take you half a year. And I've discovered that this is a skill that is built over time. I've observed some people like this. The moment they approach a situation, they're immediately thinking, how can I get this done in the most efficient way possible? And I have a friend who's like this, who I've learned so much from. They're thinking, who has done this before? How can I reach out to this person? What methodology did they use? And how can I take a clue from that? While there are others who just go headfirst into the task and they just want to use brute force to handle everything. Brute force can work sometimes, you know, sometimes you just succeed at something because you keep banging your head against that same door. But I mean, if you could find the key, well, you could save yourself a lot of time and a lot of pain. The key is in the approach, being intentional about finding the most efficient way to solving every problem. Wow, so that's 24 lessons down. And if you've learned anything from all I've said so far, it should be that in all my 25 years on this planet, I've learned absolutely nothing. Just kidding. The reason I've given so many contrasting points of view is that at some point in my life, I probably held one of those views to an extreme. And I would later come to realize that there are nuances to most things in life. And the point is to keep finding out where the balance is. It's still an ongoing process, and I'm nowhere near perfection in anything. But lesson number 25 is that one lesson to which I have found no nuance and no compromise. It says, trust in the Lord. The book of Proverbs chapter 3 from verse 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. From all I've said, you can see that people might and will probably fail you. The rules and principles that you've clung to for so long might suddenly not work, but God certainly does not fail. And I'm so grateful for his guidance all these years, because I cannot imagine what my life would look like if God hadn't helped me out of some situations or led me through some decisions that I had to make. So I'm really grateful for that. And that is the best lesson that I can probably share with you. And it's a wrap, people. 25 lessons that I've learned in these 25 years. I hope that you found at least one of these lessons applicable. And if you haven't, well, you've got your own 25 years of experience to learn from. If you enjoyed this episode, please do not forget to like, share, and subscribe. For those who prefer things in written format, I'm going to write a blog about this, and you can find it on my website at praisearrow.com. You can also sign up to my newsletter, where you're going to get monthly updates about my music, podcast, and everything nice. Well, once again, thank you so much for listening to the rantings of this 25-year-old. Stay healthy, and I will see you in the next episode. Bye!